like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. If you have your Bible open to Hebrews chapter 2, we'll begin with verse 1 in just a moment. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. The Word of God tells us in the book of Hebrews that the new covenant we have is better than the old covenant Israel had. And the theme of this book deals with that better covenant. The covenant I'm in is a covenant that God the Father has made with His Son. You're in that new covenant too if you know the Lord as your Savior. I belong to the Lord. God's gift to us is the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God's gift to the Son is you and me as we come to know Him as our personal Savior. In the 17th chapter of John, in the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ affirms in that prayer again and again and again that we belong to Him. We've been made a gift to Him from God the Father, and that we're in His hand, He tells us earlier in that book of the Bible, and nothing can take us out of His hand and separate us from His love. And we give Him the glory for that. The Bible says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark this wonderful question penetrating to our hearts, stirring our minds to think, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I became a Christian and received this salvation, receiving Christ, as a teenage boy, nearly 14 years of age. I love telling people that a soul winner said to me, "Are you a Christian?" And my reply to him was inadequate. I said, "Yes, of course. I believe in God. I have a Bible. I attend church. I'm in the Sunday school. I sing in the youth choir." On and on I went, pleading my case. But he was a discerning Christian. And when he listened to me, he discerned from what I said that I had never had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I had religion, but I didn't have the Lord and His salvation. And he walked me from a meeting room down the hallway to the pastor's office, and he and the pastor sat with me and explained the way of salvation to me. And there they led me in a prayer. God had been dealing with me long before that. I don't know if they recognized the Holy Spirit working in my life or not, but God had been working in my life through circumstances in my home. And I wanted to know how to have my sin forgiven. I wanted to know how Jesus could be my personal Savior. And they explained to me the way of salvation. And I bowed my head and asked God to forgive my sin. And by faith, I trusted the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. Now, I knew I received Christ and that I was a child of God. As I've said so many times, there weren't bells ringing and lights flashing, but I knew I'd given my life to God. I walked home that evening after the Wednesday evening service at the First Baptist Church in Maryville, Tennessee, after Dr. J. William Harbin and Don Brakewell had talked to me and told my mother that I'd been saved. And her response eventually was, "That's very good." She recognized that salvation was a wonderful thing, and now that I had it, she rejoiced with me that I'd been born again. I'm so grateful because everything that's come to my life that's been given to me of God, and every opportunity the Lord has given me in the ministry, and the opportunity to have a Christian home and to rear my children in a home where mother and father were Christians, all came to me because those people had the zeal and the passion to speak to me about Christ. Here the Lord calls the salvation that I have and you have so great salvation. And the question is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, I didn't know all that I had in the Lord when I came to Christ. Years went on, and I discovered things in the Bible as I studied the Word of God about things that accompanied salvation that enabled me to live the Christian life. I not only had received the Holy Spirit, but I could be filled with the Holy Spirit. I could be anointed by the Holy Spirit. I had access to God through prayer. I had a high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who ever lived to make intercession for me. And on they go. There are at least 30 things I've discovered in the Bible that accompanied my salvation. And it's been my conclusion that so many people can say they have salvation, but they've never discovered how great that salvation is. No wonder God calls it so great salvation. So great salvation. And so, may I just give this very simple message to you. Everything necessary for salvation has been completed. I'd like for you to write that down. Everything necessary for salvation has been completed. There's nothing else God needs to do to provide the way of salvation. He has done everything necessary to provide the way of salvation. If you'll turn with me to the beginning of the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, the Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And verse 3 tells us of the Lord Jesus Christ this very special thought, and I want you to mark it in your Bible. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I want you to mark this expression. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the express image of his person. If you want to know God, know Christ. Christ is co-equal, co-existent, eternally existent with God the Father. And he completed everything. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So Jesus Christ came into the world, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, as you've been told and read in God's word. His life was approved of God. Think of that, approved of God. Every part of his life, every part of his being, as he became a man without ceasing to be God, he lived a life completely approved of God. He went to the cross and paid our sin debt. The debt was owed, he paid the debt. It was not his debt. He paid our debt. He became sin for us. The Bible says, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Loving hands lifted his body when he died, carried him to a borrowed tomb, and on the third day, he came forth from the grave alive forever, bodily. He spent 40 days with his disciples, taught them things concerning the kingdom, ascended to glory from the Mount of Olives, and now he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And no wonder the word of God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, because God has made everything ready for your salvation. Everything. He's provided all we need. Nothing else has to be completed. Nothing. This is what the Lord has done for us. Look, if you would, please, in Hebrews chapter 2, and the word of God says in verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. And all of us are part of those sons who have come to glory. Many more yet to be coming to glory if he doesn't come soon. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to be called to call them brethren. Now think of this. And the word of God goes on to say, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The Bible says that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died. He died. It was the only way in God's devised plan for our salvation to conquer death. Our death was conquered by his death as he tasted death for every man. And the word of God says that men live in the fear of death all their life, but there's no reason to fear now because Christ has conquered death and holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave. It is so great salvation. And you can go to anyone, anywhere in this world and give them the way of salvation in Christ and Christ alone, and they can be saved. So great salvation. How many of you have received from God the Father this so great salvation? Because to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. How many of you have received this so great salvation? Then make the most of it, not the least of it. Make the most of it. If we can pray because we have this great salvation, if we can commune with Christ because we have this great salvation, if we can be filled with his Spirit and live and move in the power of his Spirit because we have this so great salvation, if we can have his passion and his purpose and the zeal that can only come from Christ and Christ alone because we have this so great salvation, then why have so great salvation and live such a little firecracker life as a Christian? It is so great salvation. Oh, may God help us. The second thing I want you to write down is simple. We can only receive this so great salvation in our lifetime. It will not be available to us after death. It will not be available to us for money, any size of wealth, ever. It comes to all people the same way. By seeking the forgiveness of our sin and trusting by faith Christ and Christ alone in salvation. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Lots and lots of life is wasted in youth. And you say, why? Why do you say so much life is wasted in youth? Because they live without so great salvation. If you'll turn with me, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes for a moment. In the 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes, in this sermon given by the preacher, the Bible says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south, or toward the north. In the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. Now think of this. God is telling us when it's over, it's ended. It's ended, and there's nothing else to be done. The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Only in life can we receive this great salvation. So great salvation. I've talked with people who believe that someone will provide for them some ray of hope after death if they got it wrong on earth. I want you to know there is no ray of hope after death. None. And you can waste your youth by not having this so great salvation. You can waste your young adulthood by not having this so great salvation. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect? You can neglect this so great salvation. The most amazing thing ever done in human history was accomplished when Christ was crucified in weakness on the cross. As he took our sin, as he paid our debt, as the billows of God's wrath rolled on the Son of God, the most amazing thing in human history, when Christ died and was buried and rose from the dead, alive forevermore, whoever liveth to make intercession for us, the Bible says. That is the most amazing thing ever done in all of human history. You shall never study anything in any historical account that tops it. But you can neglect it. You can live as though it never happened. You can rear your children as though it never happened. You can work your job, finish your time as though it never happened. And so many people live as if the cross and the payment for their sin debt never happened. They may have gained great things. Someone told me today about having $1 million. They not only had $1 million, they had $1 million worth of property. But the tragedy is, most likely they do not have salvation. Now think of that. Nothing greater will ever be gained in this life than so great salvation. Nothing in this life ever more useful than so great salvation. Nothing more powerful in this world, in your lifetime, than so great salvation. Nothing ever so enabling for you in your life to do what God designed you to do as so great salvation. But sadly, it can be neglected. And may I say to you, it's my conclusion after half a century of working with people who say they're Christians, that the overwhelming majority of Christians live their entire Christian life, they call it, making so little of so great salvation. It can be neglected. When you're down in the dumps, you've got the blues, and you wonder which way is up, I want you to know you already have the victory if you have so great salvation. You can have access to God in a moment. Think about a God so great that he devised a way that we can be completely clean again by confessing our sin and coming to God by faith. He says, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it can only be attained by grace through faith in this life. If some of you feel you've already wasted so great salvation, you've made so little of so great salvation, and you've done it so long, it's now a habit to make so little of so great salvation, then begin today to make the most of so great salvation. If you have never received this so great salvation and you've lived in neglect of it, that means you've neglected the cross, neglected the Lord Jesus Christ, neglected the Word of God, neglected the power that He's given to the church to be triumphant. All of that is missing from your life. What an incomplete life you're living. While the world has convinced you, you found completeness in something else, which is only emptiness with another name on it. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And I say to you on the Christian side of this, the thing that troubles me is all we have in possibility, in power, in access to God, and to think how little of it we put into practice for the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be attained in your lifetime. It can be neglected. But the question is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And the answer, the third thing I want you to mark, is it cannot be escaped. It cannot be escaped. It's a question without an answer. It cannot be escaped in time. It cannot be escaped in eternity. It cannot be escaped. How shall we escape? You can't. I want you to turn with me, please, to the last book in the Bible, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And I want you to listen to what the Word of God says. This crowd tried to escape it, but there is no escape. In Revelation chapter 6, beginning with verse 12, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And the answer is no one. No one. If somehow or another we could accomplish what the general next to God, William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, said he wanted to accomplish with his soldiers. He said, if I could just get you to get a real glimpse of heaven for just a few minutes, that's all a glimpse of hell for 5 minutes. That's all the training you would need to serve the Lord. You would never be the same once you saw the reality of hell. And you and I live our lives preoccupied with everything imaginable, bringing into our lives as much busyness as possible. But the truth is, every person we meet has either received so great salvation or has neglected so great salvation. And most people we meet who say they're Christians and have received so great salvation are doing so very little with it. I don't know how it happens, but there's some people to whom God deals in such a way with His Spirit, and they reach a level of yieldedness to Christ, and yieldedness, and yieldedness, and yieldedness. They're never the same. They keep working. They've received salvation, but they keep working to exhaust all they can do and all they can have, but they're never the same after they've got that appetite for Christ and that passion for the Lord. But they're too few. They're too few. And I'm trying to be used of God by yielding myself to the Lord, allowing God to work in my life, to use what I do and what I say to stir your heart. And I have failed miserably at the job that could be done. For all of us who have so great salvation, to do all within our power, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to get the message of salvation to others. God has done all He can do. We can't blame God, hold Him at fault, say something's missing, or if He had, no. He's done everything necessary to provide salvation by tasting death for every man. In other words, if that be true, and I believe it is, we cannot witness to the wrong person. If we tried to witness to the wrong person, we could not witness to the wrong person. So between what we should be doing and what we are doing, what's gone wrong? What is it? Is it we haven't died to self and we're ashamed of Jesus? Is it we've been so overcome by good things we haven't done the best thing? Is it that we've stopped believing in a real hell and the return of Christ at any moment? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We're going to face the Lord not with our sin dead if we've been saved, but with what we've done with our salvation. And we've made such neglect of it. But think about the overwhelming majority of people we will meet and have met who are still trying to neglect so great a salvation, and they're lost without God and without hope. When the way has been made and they only have their lifetime at some juncture, more people come to Christ who come to Christ as children or young people. And when it passes that season of life, it becomes more difficult, increasingly difficult, for people to come to the Lord for that great salvation. And some of you have passed through childhood, passed through youth, passed through young adult life, and still are neglecting so great salvation. And when the rocks and mountains are crumbling and people are crying for them to fall on them and hide them from the wrath of the Lamb of God, when He comes in judgment, there will be no escape. There's no escape now. When you hear something like this, and when I study and preach and think of things like this, will it move us to action? If so, don't think about all the things that we need to do. Just think about where you could start. May I tell you my personal experience? I listened to this kind of preaching. I was 17 years old. And I decided I was going to do something to witness, to bear testimony, to try to get others to Christ. And this is the absolute truth about it. I went to a Christian bookstore and bought a bookmarker that could clip pages and hold pages together. And on the part that clipped over the pages, it simply said, Jesus never fails. That's all it said. I thought the boldest thing anyone ever did was what I did with that bookmarker. I had a uniform I wore for the dairy I worked for as a kid that age. And I clipped the Jesus never failed part of it on the outside of my shirt pocket with the bookmark inside the shirt. So if you looked at me, you could see something was written there on my shirt. And it said, if you look closely, Jesus never failed. I can remember the first day I wore it to work. I went into stores pulling up milk. It was a simple job for a kid in high school trying to finish. You pull the milk that's the oldest up to the front and put the milk that can last longer in the back. And they call them pull-up boys. I was a pull-up boy. And I can remember the grocery store. I could take you to it now after all these years, more than 50 years. And if they still had a grocery store, I could take you down the aisle and tell you where the first person who ever spoke to me and said something so simple like this: I like your sign. And I thought, I've broken through. I like your sign. Jesus never fails. Now, I didn't preach a revival to start with, and I've preached hundreds of them. I didn't win people to the Lord, take my Bible and take them through the scripture and show them the logic of the gospel. God loves all people. All men are sinners. Sin must be paid for. Christ paid for our sin. We must personally pray and receive Christ by faith as Savior. And I've seen hundreds and thousands of people come to the Lord. But that's not where I started. One meeting, I had an opportunity to train 1,500 soul winners to go out and witness. I'm so ashamed that we don't have that zeal now. But when I started, I went to the bookstore and I bought a little bookmarker. And the only thing it said was, Jesus never fails. And that's where I got into it. And what I'm trying to say to you, if you believe what I preached, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And you think of all the things that ought to be done, you're never going to do them. But find a place to start. Just find a place to start. There's no telling what God might do with your life. Find a place to start. I didn't start writing books. I dreamed of writing books. I didn't start pastoring a church. I dreamed of pastoring a church when God began to deal with me about it. But I started with a bookmarker stuck in my pocket of my uniform. And I think that's where you have to start, with something you can get done, because we have so great salvation. Let's bow in prayer, may we?